Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Look, I got to challenge the premise of the question, Chad. You know me. I'm a fierce advocate and defender of Article One. I mean, that, look, we are the legislative branch. There's a reason the Founding Fathers put the Congress, the legislative branch, as the first article in the Constitution, and we're going to vigorously defend that. But what's happening right now, I think there's a gross overreaction in the media to what is happening. The executive branch of government in our system has the right to evaluate how executive branch agencies are operating and to ensure that not only the intent of Congress in funding mechanisms, but also the stewardship of precious American taxpayer dollars is being handled well. That's what they're doing by putting a pause on some of these agencies and by evaluating them, by doing these internal audits. That is a long overdue, much welcome development. That's what the American people demand and deserve. And that's what's happening. So we don't see this as a threat to Article One at all. We see this as an active, engaged, committed executive branch authority doing what the executive branch should do.
Tell you what, when I hear internal audits to get rid of wasteful government spending, I do this.
And we will win.
We will win.
We will win.
Because it makes me so mad that somebody could do that.
Unleash the Schumer.
This is the Annie Fry Show. This is Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, Ethan Hannaford in studio. I have this pulled up. It is called Trump 2.0, a survival guide for Democrats.
I'm going to ask you the question Annie always asks you. Where is this from?
The Free Press.
The Free Press.
TheFP.com, if you'd like to look it up yourself. This is Trump 2.0, a survival guide for Democrats. There are several points here. And it is a suggestion to Democrats in this country from the author, who I believe is a Democrat.
Okay.
At least it seems that he is.
Did you just assume his gender?
I did. And I apologize for that 3 weeks ago. In Trump's America, I'm like, nah,
I don't care.
Too bad, you're a Democrat. These are suggestions for the way Democrats should handle the next 4 years. And I want to ask you whether you think they're doing this or not. And some of this will be funny. And some of this, I want an actual explanation as to why you believe that they are or not doing this thing. Okay, the first one is avoid the name calling. It says, let's start with something easy. Don't drop the F-bomb. Democrat, they're not doing that. There's been a bit of language.
How are we doing on that one?
Okay, they're not doing that one. Democrats must resist the urge to characterize Trump as his policies as fascist, as Kamala Harris did in the home stretch of the presidential race. Why? For a start, it's not true. Trump may have authoritarian tendencies, says this article, but if the term is to retain any meaning, that is very different from being an actual fascist. What do you think?
That was a curveball to me because the F-bomb wasn't actually the traditional F-bomb.
Mm-hmm,
F-bomb was fascist.
Yeah, it is a curveball.
I think this person's right. Stop it.
Well, it's not just are they right.
Oh.
Is are they listening? Are Democrats doing this?
No, we just played that montage earlier and she called Elon Musk a fascist nepo baby.
I think you're right.
It was
all of those accesses are cut off. So we might actually see somebody get killed.
We have to fight this in the courts. We have to fight this in the Congress. We have to fight this in the streets.
Well,
it's a different F word.
That's a different F word.
Yeah.
What do you think? Democrats doing this one? Avoiding the word fascist.
They're not avoiding the word fascist.
In.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because, you know, you would think that they would have learned from the mistakes that resulted in how the 2024 election went. They haven't. It feels like they're trying to press in more, which I think is really funny because they just continue to represent less and less of the American people. I mean, the Democratic Party has never been viewed lower according to like new polling and new data.
It's true. Yeah. It was either Monday or Monday or Tuesday of this week because today's Wednesday that Annie was talking about a Quinnipiac poll that I hadn't seen that said that in January, so even into Trump's term, that Republicans have never had a higher favorable rating. Actually, the poll didn't say this, but she read the poll and I said, well, that's the highest favorability rating that Republicans have ever had.
So you said that.
I looked it up and it was true. I was reciting this from memory. I'm like, that's actually the highest I've ever heard. Looked it up. It is. It's the highest it's ever been before for Republicans right now. And it's the lowest for Democrats. And that's in the midst of this nonstop race of a Trump administration, meaning fast moving. And you'd think people would get a little bit nervous. They're not. They're going, okay, this is what I voted for.
That's the thing is, like, it feels like a lot of people, whether you're kind of down the middle, even I think some, there's Democrats out there that would agree, like, yeah, this is just common sense stuff that needs to happen. And then you have people in Washington that are just screaming their heads off and losing their minds at common sense stuff for the sake of the growth of the American economy, security. It's ridiculous.
It just boggles my mind. You can pretend you're mad at Elon Musk in this or whatever you want, but to be mad that they're cutting wasteful spending, that I never thought we'd see. Now they might behind the scenes be like, that's my stuff, you know. They're coming after my constituents, and I was trying to add this pork to my bill or whatever. I see that, but to just be outright screaming at the idea that somebody could want more efficiency in one agency.
Well, what's wild about it is USAID, USAID.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be worldwide. You know, help countries worldwide. And they're saying how valuable this is. But the best they can come up with this are these unhinged, hair on fire rants. They can't bring somebody in because this is a big program. It's been helping, quote unquote, helping a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They can't find one person out there to say this is how this helped me and this is how this would hurt other people like me.
You know, I've seen one, since we're on the subject, I've seen one person, and this is somebody that I know personally, who's a missionary in Kenya. And he said, I've actually seen quite a few boxes that say USAID on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do help people there. That's the only person I've seen, whether it be personal or mainstream, that says, yeah, I've actually seen something on the ground.
He saw the boxes.
He saw the boxes.
But he didn't know what was in the boxes?
No, it was food and necessities and things like that. But when you start to look at it, and this is part of the problem, is they say about only between, and this is mainstream reporting.
Yeah.
This isn't like...
Yeah.
you know, right-wing people doing this. This is like propaganda. CBS News or CNN reporting, yes, it's only really about 10 to 30% of the budget of USAID that actually makes it to on-the-ground humanitarian efforts.
That is not efficient.
That's not efficient. That's not efficient. So that needs to be more efficient. And to conclude this point, don't use the F word, fascist.
Over our country, and we say hell no!
If this were happening in any other country right now, I promise you, I'd be on the air calling it a coup.
I guess they technically didn't use the word fascist, so check mark.
Cleared. Good work, guys.
Number two, Democrats, and this is from Democrats, saying moderate. Starting with immigration. That moderation should start with the decisive issue in the last election, immigration. Voters want a secure border and an end to runaway illegal immigration. Have Democrats softened their tone on this? Have they gotten behind any of these efforts, do you think?
I think that some of them have. I think on the whole, you can't say everyone has. I think some of them have. But then I think there are some that are standing in the way, like a great big, huge, immovable object. They're Ooh. Not going to let people go through them to get to their people.
Yeah, then you got Phil Murphy, New Jersey governor, over here saying that he's sheltering an illegal immigrant above his garage.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you said that, because I don't think we've talked about that.
No, we haven't.
And you got Ilhan Omar, I'm assuming speaking in her native language, or in a language that is not English, saying, if you are an illegal immigrant, you do not have to speak to ICE. You do not have to communicate your immigration status or these things. I mean, telling people to break the law. I mean, like, these are actual politicians mm-hmm. that are saying you do not have to withstand from what ICE is saying or asking.
It's a good point to be made, too, that these are not TikTokers. This isn't just random voters. These are members of Congress. This is big mainstream media that we're quoting here. This isn't obscure people. These are the party thought leaders. Number three, partner with Trump when he's right, like on DEI. Have you seen this?
No.
There is no partnering with Trump on anything.
No.
He still is the center of the Democrat Party. As in, he decides something, it must be bad.
Even the Democrats that we have looked at to be kind of like, oh, this is the centrist Democrat, John Fetterman. John Fetterman has yet to vote for one of...
They did. Pam Bondi.
Did he finally?
He did.
I was going to say, he is yet to... Like, he
yesterday.
Talks all this talk, but he never really gets behind it whenever the chips are down.
I'm wary of John Fetterman. I like that he's out there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to push for John Fetterman in the Senate.
Put up
next
or
time
shut
he's up.
Up.
Yeah, you do something. Because right now you vote with Democrats 90-point-something% of the time, mm-hmm. and you're just another Democrat. Like,
yeah.
I don't get why we as Republicans are so enamored with keeping this guy around. I guess we're not enamored with keeping him around.
No.
We
I
are
like
enamored
it.
With the fact that he goes against the grain sometimes.
I like it because of the outfit choices, personally. Big fan, big supporter of the sweats.
You should start doing that. You're not
Good
that
thought.
Far from that.
Hey, and put a hoodie on for Pete's sake. We're tired of looking at your nipples.
Aww.
It comes up every day. Number four, embrace energy abundance. Democrats also need to show more pragmatism on energy. Trump has taken steps that he says will increase fossil fuel production and make energy more abundant. He plans to eliminate many of the subsidies and regulations that are designed to accelerate the transition to green energy and electric vehicles. And he's restricted environmental review processes to the cost of big energy and blah, blah, blah. Much of this has merit and popular support. Democrats, however, have been unremittingly hostile toward all of it. Agree?
Yeah.
I'm really trying hard to think about examples I have seen of anything that does that supports this article, or that Democrats, or even singular Democrats, are trying to do these things, and I am really struggling.
Let's say Eric Adams in New York has been behind the deportations.
And some of the things, this is another one we haven't really talked much about, some of the things that Eric Adams has said, I think it was to Tucker Carlson,
mm-hmm.
and this was a week or so ago, he was wanting to do a lot more hardline things on immigration. But he knew, the minute I do it, the Biden administration is actually going to come after me. And then he did it anyway, And they did.
That is amazing.
They came after, and here's the examples he gave. He goes, at first, I actually didn't connect these. He's like, I knew I was in dangerous territory even going against the party line a little bit publicly. But he said, the minute I started to talk about it, and I can't remember what specific action he had taken, but there was something specific he did. And then he goes, within a day of me doing that publicly, two of his, at least one, if not both, of his major donors got raided by the FBI.
That's wild.
That is a corrupt system. And that is why when we talk about Tulsi Gabbard taking over DNI and Pam Bondi taking over DOJ and Kash Patel, FBI under Tulsi, that's why you go, yeah, there needs to be serious reform, because that is using the federal, they were using it against their own party to keep people in line from just speaking out publicly against things that were going on in their own constituents' neighborhoods. That's how bad they were abusing these federal agencies. I can't believe, yeah, there's so much happening. That's like two random news items that we hadn't even discussed. A third one that I'm like, oh, we need to discuss that. We haven't talked about it in this segment at all. Is the Ukraine money. I don't know why I'm bringing it up now, just because we haven't discussed it, but Zelensky and many others from our current federal government are saying, yeah, of the 170 something billion dollars we've sent to Ukraine, we can find about 70 of it. We don't know where the other 100 million went. They asked Zelensky. He's like, I never got that 100 million.
Oh my gosh.
All of that is verified both by Zelensky and people on our side, that over half of the money we allocated to go to Ukraine either never made it to Ukraine or got like laundered through Ukraine to something else.
And no one talks about it. That's the craziest thing.
But Ethan, that's my point, is there, things are happening so fast right now that it's hard to keep up with the level of onion layers that are getting peeled back over and over every single day. And it's actually, I honestly, when I look back at the end of my life, I have no idea what my career is going to be from this day forward. But I would be glad to say that at least I was in political radio from 2018 to right now, 2025, hopefully longer. But I think, honestly, people will look back at this era and go, wow, that's one that I would have loved. It's like people talk about the 60s. Wow, what a transformational era. We're in it right now. And it never looks like what you think it will. And it won't look like what we think it will. The next 4 years, it's not going to be the exact same thing as we're experiencing right now. It's going to be other stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be stuff we weren't expecting. They're going to try to bring him down in ways we weren't expecting, because they're not done with that. But it is incredible to be alive in America right now and experiencing what we're experiencing. Because, yeah, it's coming fast, but it is memorable. It's necessary change. And that's what's so fun about it, mm-hmm. is that it's finally getting done. Stuff that we've been talking about for years is finally happening in actuality.
Well, and like, to me, the thing about it is I'm Annie has liked this too. It's like, nervous. I don't know. We talk about it. It's like, oh, if Trump gets in, he's going to do X, Y, and Z. And part of me, whenever that was happening, was like, I don't know how much of this he's going to actually get done. And he is getting a ton of it done, if not all of it. He's pretty much done everything he set out to say.
They've poked the pin into one balloon right now, and that is USAID. What happens to the next one? Like, a lot of these places don't even have the head of Health and Human Services isn't even there yet, you know? Like, the head of the DOJ just got confirmed today.
No cabinet yet.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio.
That's it. And Treasury Secretary and Doug Burgum.
Yeah.
That's who you have so far. And Pete Hegseth. Hey, we forgot about Pete.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about Pete.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to wait long. Let's take a quick break. And I told Mark Cox we'd talk to him at 1:25. We'll be a little bit after that. Stick around. Mark Cox coming up next to talk about these big picture things going on in America. Stick around.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. limit 3 free items. USDA Choice bone-in ribeye steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass avocados, 77 cents each, limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's the reason why Elon Musk and others have been taking a look. Because if you look at the waste and abuse that has run through USAID over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government.
Yeah, and to get good use out of those things that we already paid for. Like, if I paid $40,000 for a transgender comic book, by golly, I want a copy of it. That's probably not where you thought this segment was going to go. It's certainly not where Mark Cox was going to go. Mark, thanks for being here.
Hey, glad to be here, Ryan. How are you?
Mark, we were talking about in the last segment, this is at least as far as I'm concerned. Now, I've been in political news radio for about 6 or 7 years now. You've been in news and politics way longer than I have. But have you ever seen news that is happening so fast as this?
No, Ryan, it's like drinking out of a water hose. We were talking about, like a fire hose. We were talking about it this morning. And, you know, I had Lucas Tomlinson on my show this morning. He's a correspondent with Fox News, and he was reporting on in front of the White House. he said that the mainstream media can't scramble fast enough to figure out the next emergency, right? Because it's a mile a minute with Donald Trump, and what's happened between Caroline Leavitt handling herself and like that bite you just played, or you know, executive orders on boys and girls sports. I mean, that maybe that's the headline this afternoon, or will they still be talking about us owning Gaza as the Riviera of the Middle East? I mean, they don't know where to go next. They don't have enough time to really ingest what he's just said, because they're working on the last thing he said.
Yeah, Mark, you know, you got off the air at 9, and I saw you shortly after you got done, you know, doing your normal recording stuff that you always have to do. But you know what? You and I were talking just briefly. This is the national conversation right now, because it seems like a lot of times who are in political talk, of course, we're always looking at politics and we're always like, oh, my gosh, there's so much happening. But right now, this isn't just people who are interested in politics. It seems to me like America is having this conversation together.
Well, I'm glad you make that point, because as whether you're producing a newscast, which I, of course, I was in the television news business for 25 years, or you're producing a radio talk show or a national television talk show of some sort, you have to talk about subjects that people are not just hearing in the headlines, but that it's affecting their lives. And the things Donald Trump's doing right now, when it comes to tariffs, when it comes to cutting waste, these are things, energy like drilling, that will eventually bring down the cost that we're paying at the pump. These are things that are impacting people in their wallets every day. And I think that there's a fascination right now with that. You know, one of my friends who will go unnamed, who is quite liberal, wanted to get on me the week after the election. Like, I found Donald Trump been president 6 days, and I get a text, why aren't my gas prices down yet? So whether this individual wanted to admit it or not, their life was focused on the next thing Donald Trump was going to do, and they're anxious to see exactly what that's going to be that's going to improve their quality of life. Now, I don't know how soon that'll happen. I don't think J.D. Vance or Donald Trump know how soon that's going to happen. But I've never seen more action taken by an American president and administration in the first 2 weeks and 1 day than we've seen with Donald Trump. And I don't see it slowing down. That's the thing about it. Every time I think, well, what can he do next? There's a new executive order or a new news conference.
Mark Cox is host of the Mark Cox Morning Show every morning right here on 97.1. I don't know about you, but I've been getting texts from people that I haven't heard from in a long time. It's kind of nice to catch up, but they also are not political people. And I won't say who this is, somebody in my extended family who Mark, I'm not kidding. I'm not sure I've ever really had a political conversation with this person. And out of the blue, they text me 2 nights ago and said, Trump did it. He twisted the arms of Canada and Mexico and has agreed to halt the tariffs on those countries for 30 days. And they've agreed to permanently spend billions on planes and technology to stop illegal immigration, trafficking of fentanyl into our country. And this is somebody, Mark, who never talks politics, was enamored by this subject. And I just wonder, if are you getting that in your life? You know, you're the host of a prominent morning show in St. Louis, so people obviously know where you stand. Are they coming to you out of the woodwork and being like, wow, I can't believe what's happening right now?
No, I'm still getting the pushback from the people that still need to find a reason to hate Donald Trump, to be honest. I mean, maybe it's a morbid fascination they have. They're waiting for him to fail at something. Like the headline in the Wall Street Journal the other day, after both Mexico and Canada walked up to the red line and backed away and struck a quick deal to delay tariffs 30 days. But the Wall Street Journal somehow positioned that as a loss, that Donald Trump bluffed but didn't follow through on his tariffs. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure whoever wrote this headline has thought this through very well, because, you know, it's not Donald Trump who blinked here. It was the Canadians and the Mexicans who said, well, we'll just increase our tariffs too. And then they realized that, you know, for example, we see that the oil pipeline, Canada threatened to cut off some of the oil that it sends to the U.S. But the pipeline that they use to send oil from the western part of Canada to the eastern part of Canada comes down into the continental United States and then back up in the eastern part of Canada. So I just still think they thought this through very well. That we could just turn off the spigot in the middle somewhere, right, if we wanted to. I don't know that it would ever get that far, but these are things that I'm not sure that the critics expected or have thought through very well, Ryan.
Mark, obviously, you and I, you know, we talk off air quite a bit. You and I agree on politics for the most part. We have our little disagreements, but for the most part, I think we're both celebrating the wins right now. And this is an honest question. That's why I preface it, because I'm not trying to like score points here. Honestly, what in your assessment is the Democrat platform right now? Because I've struggled to answer this question.
Anti-Elon Musk, hate Elon Musk. I don't know what it is. All I know is that at every protest I've seen in Washington this week, everybody's screaming. Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, they're all screaming about Elon Musk. He was never elected to anything. Who does he think he is that he can go into the Treasury Department and look at personnel files and decide who's going to get fired? And I thought to myself, wow, you know, their point was nobody elected Elon Musk, and they're concerned about his influence. And my thought was, well, I never voted for George Soros, but he had an undue influence on the Obama administration and certainly on the Biden administration. So their platform is misguided. Let's put it that way. If their platform is, let's just try to win points by attaching Donald Trump to a billionaire that we don't like and trying to make that guy evil somehow, I think that's going to fall flat in a big hurry, because anybody who knows Donald Trump knows that he takes a lot of advice. He listens to a lot of advice, but he makes his decisions on his own. And where was Elon Musk 4 years ago?
Well, Mark, you said, you know, their platform is basically getting in front of a microphone and screaming about things, but you wouldn't describe this as screaming, would you?
All of those accesses are cut off.
And we will win!
We will win!
We will win!
Do you call that screaming? That seems pretty coherent to me.
Mad shrieking, maybe? I'm trying to come up with a better word for it. I heard Schumer. The guy's just so awkward that he's better off leaving that to somebody like Nancy Pelosi.
I didn't think you were going to say Nancy Pelosi right there. Mark, you know, another kind of big picture question here is, are we seeing political change right now? Because we're coming in here talking about the things that are happening every day. But, you know, taking a bigger step back here, are we seeing what the pendulum naturally does? That it's, you know, we're in the midst of a big rightward swing right now, not just with politics, but with the approval of those policies. Like, the American people are actually approving of what Donald Trump's doing. Or are we seeing something bigger that's a little more permanent? Is this a social change that's happening?
Boy, I hope so. I hope so. You know, I have talked about this before, but I was a member of the Reagan Revolution. I mean, when that was my first real political activity. I remember going to a rally for Ronald Reagan in Cincinnati when he was running for office the first time, and I was too young to vote. My dad hauled me down there, and suddenly it was like an epiphany, and everything started to make sense to me, and what Ronald Reagan was saying was making a lot of sense to me. And then, of course, I watched what he did with the economy and what he did with the Soviet Union. If Donald Trump can be as effective for 2 years as he's been for 2 months, I think you're onto something, Ryan. I think that's the key to it, is people hearing the rhetoric and seeing the executive orders and then seeing the action that follows up on it and then seeing real change that results from it. And that's when you start to talk about a real social buy-in to Donald Trump. And you know, back then you had Blue Dog Democrats, or that they referred to them as, who were the ones that supported Reagan and got him over the line. And then, you know, it was a phenomenon, in my opinion. And he has the opportunity to do that. The Democrats will fight him, I'm sure, every step of the way in the next 2 years to keep that from happening.
You know, Mark, the one thing that really does encourage me that I'm seeing, and I, again, this is tip of the iceberg because we're just talking about USAID right now and cutting some of that crazy spending that goes on there. If they start doing that to all these agencies, which they will, cutting off the amount of money that is your money, it's our money, that they are taking from us forcibly and funneling it to all these non-governmental organizations, these NGOs, as they call them, that operate, quote-unquote, as charities. But it's something like 95% of them are leftist organizations that, no matter who the administration was, whether it was a Republican or a Democrat, this money went through these organizations anyway and funneled out into all aspects of our lives. And it's one of the reasons we see so much propaganda from the left, is that we're funding it, and all of that's about to change.
Well, the adult tantrum that you saw yesterday in Washington, and there's no better way to describe it outside of the Treasury building, I thought to myself as I'm watching this, why is Jamie Raskin so emotionally involved in the possibility of the United States saving itself trillions of dollars? I mean, clearly he doesn't care that much about the condoms that were going to go to Gaza. But is there something else about the organization that was distributing the money that money was landing back in an account that Jamie Raskin needed it to for his reelection. Follow the money, just like good investigative journalist. They need to follow the money on these accounts, and I think you'll get to a pretty quick answer as to why all of these politicians, particularly on the left, are so worried about this flow of money being cut off. And I think we will get to that answer here at some point.
Mark, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your morning show every day here on 97.1. Is there anything in particular we should look forward to? Any particular times to tune in tomorrow?
We're fortunate enough to have Shannon Bream as a regular guest on the show. Of course, the host of Fox News Sunday, and I'm anxious to get her on tomorrow to talk about this tariff situation and the fact that now that Pam Bondi is sworn in as the Attorney General, in the Department of Justice, what's next? What is she? Because she covers the Supreme Court for Fox all the time, mm-hmm. and I'm anxious to see which of those maybe either pending cases or cases that are about to get up there that were being pushed by the Biden administration can be withdrawn potentially under a new Attorney General. And my guess is Shannon's got some ideas on that, and we'll talk to her in the morning at about 8:20.
Sounds good. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate your insights.
You bet. Thanks, Ryan.
And we will be listening tomorrow to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 to 9 a.m. Of course, if you're awake during any of that, you should tune in. I'm not saying you have to listen to the entire thing, but you can. Even if you can't be awake at 5 and listen all the way to 9, you can get the podcast for any of these shows, including the Mark Cox Morning Show, including the Annie Fry Show, which you are listening to right now. Annie Fry is off today, not because she wants to be, but because she sounds like a frog, in her own words. I have not heard her to confirm that she sounds like frog. Brad says she sounds like Chuck Grassley.
She's just got a gravelly sounding voice right now.
Well, regardless, we hope that she will be back tomorrow. She is participating in the chat and just said ribbit. So I guess that confirms it. All right.
I can't wait for her to sing Rainbow Connection. Well,
that was a good joke. I like that. I like that we're ending on a solid joke from that segment. You know what I was going to end on? I was going to play more of that Carolyn Leavitt outlining the things that the USAID was wasting our money on and just talking more about the things that we could have had, like a gender fluid opera in Brazil or whatever. There's so many random things in those clips. And it's just a drop in the bucket of all the money they've been wasting that we will not be wasting anymore here in the United States under a new president and new administration. Well, this is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. We will be right back. I don't know what they say in this song. Do you?
No. But, I mean, it's gotten worse since they've
So they
gotten,
still perform this
oh,
song?
Oh, yeah, live. Is it? Who's the lead singer of Motley Crue?
It's not. So is it Nikki Sixx and...
Is it Vince Neil?
Vince Neil, that's it.
Okay. Well, I did better than Annie on that one.
Yeah, you got it. Why, does he sound terrible now?
Well, he doesn't finish words. And
he's gained a little bit of weight as well.
I knew that.
Kind of looks like Danny DeVito with long hair.
Ooh, that's rough. Man. The funny, that Motley Crue, they're one of the funniest bands to see AI of because they have Vince Neil has that tone,
yeah,
and it already sounds a little chaotic. And so, if you take a beat and isolate it like AI can now,
yeah,
and then add in his vocals but just skew them, and it sounds insane. It sounds like you are losing your mind listening to it because it's close to being real, but just enough that you're like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. there's a whole series of videos like that called What If They Sucked? And it takes all these band songs. AC/DC is another really good one that they'll take something like Thunderstruck and kind of mix up the words and put them off beat. So it's the same song, same lyrics, but it's just, what if they sucked? And this is what it would sound like. That's why the internet exists.
That is the reason.
It really is.
Right, it's for that stuff. Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. You know what I really wanted to talk about, and Sue Thomas said she would maybe come in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about this, if I can grab her, is the traffic We'll discuss this at length, but what the heck is going on in downtown St. Louis, you guys? It is terrible. And I don't know about right now. Like, I'm not on the road right now, obviously. So if you are and it's bad and it's 149, then don't tell me about it because I dread going home. But wow, what the heck? Everybody, if you're trying to get to Illinois, you just can't.
You know, it's hard. I'm not even trying to get to Illinois. And the other night when I was leaving, which I leave after Mark Reardon's show ends around 6:30, 6:45. So you'd think the roads, you know, it'll have cleared out a little bit by that point. And there was, you know, a lot of commotion, a lot of traffic around, you know, the bridges. And I was like, oh man, this is great. You know, people are actually in the city. It's a Monday night. And like, what could be going on? And then I just realized it was traffic.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing unusual. It's just that they've closed too many lanes at the same time.
There are what, four main bridges to get out of downtown St. Louis? There's the Stan Musial Bridge, the Martin Luther King Bridge, the Eads Bridge, and the Poplar Street Bridge. And they all have something going on them.
Yeah. That's not good planning,
that's
guys.
Terrible.
Give McKinley its respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to go north to get to McKinley.
Yeah, but if you're trying to come, if you're going into Illinois, you can go out in the McKinley. If you're coming from Illinois, it is not easy to get to the McKinley Bridge.
So before I was full time with 97.1, I used to be part time and go back and forth work here at 97.1, but also at KMOX.
Mm-hmm.
And Cardinals games would often end late, and the shift would usually end at midnight. So I would go home, and when I still lived in Illinois, before I was married, I would, you know, go home pretty late. And one night, there was a wreck on the Stan Musial Bridge that closed it off. So all of a sudden, with a dead phone, that's an important key, key detail, I had to figure out what bridge I could take and figure out how to get home. And I got stuck in good old North St. Louis, and
I'm driving
through streets, just trying to figure out how I can get to McKinley.
Yeah.
And I finally figured it out. But, I mean, it was after midnight. At this point, it was probably 12:30, 12:45, and I'm just driving streets, just trying to just kind of hide below the steering wheel here, and just, it was a little nerve-wracking.
My last time on the McKinley Bridge was whenever that warehouse caught on fire next to the Stan Musial Bridge, and they had the Stan Musial Bridge completely shut down because of the smoke.
Remember when that was
earlier?
I remember that.
That it's that warehouse. It's right next to the bridge as you get across on the St. Louis side.
Gotcha.
But I was coming back from Bethalto because that's where my dentist is, and
little B town.
Yep. And you have to go down, I think it's like the Great River Road and then Route 3, and then that helps you get on there. And so I was able to come this way to St. Louis because it dumps you on and you can get on the highway and you're good to go. But going back to my house, if I took the McKinley Bridge out, that would be so far out of my way because I have to get to 64 to get back to O'Fallon.
I'm trying to talk to Sue Thomas. I think she's done. I'm trying to get her in here. Come in, Sue. There, I just texted her.
Nice. Way to do radio.
I know. Hey, look, when you're the fill-in host, this is what you get.
Come in, Sue.
We're usually better at recognizing that somebody's involved in something else to keep going, but I looked over as I finished and Ryan had his phone up. I was like, uh-oh.
She won't even get this text. If she's able to come in by the end of the segment, I want answers and I want them now because I get mad. Man, here's what's crazy. So I'm going home on Monday night. And I've got to pick up one. Annie says hello. We'll just say that. Hi, Annie. So I'm going home Monday night, and I've got to pick up multiple kids and be at multiple spots. And Annie's not here because she's sick. Everybody in St. Louis is sick. My whole family's sick. I'm picking them up at different places than I usually do. Babysitters, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to estimate what time am I going to be there.
Right.
And I'm telling them, okay, the clock right now, the ETA says it'll be about 4:45, 5 o'clock. I didn't get out of St. Louis downtown. We're downtown right now. I didn't get out of downtown St. Louis till at least 5:45.
What?
It was an hour from when I left. So the time, that's a little off, but it was an hour for me to get from here to over a bridge. That's how bad it was Monday.
I had the same experience. I think it was like almost 6 o'clock whenever I was crossing the Eads.
Yeah.
And you
look at these multiple bridges and you go, look, I'm no genius, but if you're going to shut down all of 255 then you're going to have a lot of Midwest traffic transport, like trucks and stuff, coming through downtown St. Louis now that you wouldn't have otherwise. And that's what's going on. That's part of what's going on. But then you got multiple lanes shut down when you get slightly over the Poplar or, and on the Poplar. And then you got multiple lanes shut down, or at least one lane, on the Stan Musial Bridge. Mm-hmm. So you're shutting down lanes at the same time as you're doing these major projects. Now, I don't know if that's IDOT not talking to MoDOT or IDOT not talking to IDOT, but I'm pretty sure that IDOT ain't talking to IDOT, because I think a lot of that is on the Illinois side, and that doesn't surprise me a whole lot.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you rather get stuck in traffic and have to sit there for an hour, or drive out of your
way? The second one.
And perhaps have to drive the same amount
of
time just to get out of the way.
I did that this morning.
Okay, all right. Because I'm the kind of person that I just hate sitting in traffic.
Yes.
I would rather drive the same amount of time that it takes to sit in traffic and get through it, but at least I'm driving. At least I'm going in another way to get there with the potential of maybe it goes by a little bit quicker.
And I tried to do that Monday.
How'd that go?
Worse. Because I left where I was thinking, oh, there's some sort of problem here.
And it was just everywhere.
It was everywhere. Oh. And so it actually took me longer to get out. And let me tell you how bad the guy in front of me was feeling what you're talking about. I could see this guy through the back window. I could see kind of his silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
And I was behind him for a long time because I was in traffic for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just waiting to get onto the bridge onto 64. This guy, I don't know if he was crazy or if he was having a bad day. Sue's here. But he was just holding a knife up near his face and just twirling it around in his hands. And I watched this guy for 15 minutes going, is he going to hurt himself? What is this guy doing? But all of us felt pretty bad at that moment. And I was like, God, please help that man to not hurt himself with the knife that he's holding near his right eye. Traffic was that bad. Sue is here. Traffic coordinator here.
What?
Fix traffic.
What has happened? Wait, Wiggins, are you talking about the day when traffic
Monday.
Was terrible?
Yes.
Going into Illinois and it was jammed from Van Deventer all the way across the bridge.
Yes.
Where
Why
did
haven't you
see
fixed
a man
that yet?
With a knife?
It was trying to get on the ramp to 64.
From?
From like down near Taco Bell and wherever that is down there. That ramp that's south of the stadium.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
one. Yeah.
Oh,
this
gosh.
Guy, I mean, people were losing their minds. It was awful. And so that's when I was texting you. I'm like, Sue,
yes.
What's happening?
Yeah, we were getting like active updates from Sue about you, Ryan Wiggins. She
yeah,
was saying,
but
Ryan
I didn't
Wiggins
know there was
is.
A knife wielding person involved
I
in
left
this
that
tale.
Part out. I left
Thank
that part out
that.
Because I thought it would be a good
that
story
would have been
for the radio.
Great content for traffic.
But honestly, now that you're here as the authority on such issues,
I don't
what
know.
Is going on? Like, Monday was the worst. Yesterday was a little bit better, but still bad.
They were doing bridge work repair. But they finished yesterday, so it should be fine right now. It was eastbound 5570, two left lanes down between 64 and 203, but they got the work finished, so that's why it's fine. It looked better yesterday afternoon at like 5:30 when they got it done.
Well, it still wasn't great. So you're saying that maybe today is going to be better?
Today should be fine.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, 255 is still closed, and if more people are taking the Poplar, that could affect it. But yes, the nightmare should be over, because that coincided with the first day of the closure of 255.
But isn't that what's causing all of these trucks that are just traveling through the Midwest to go through downtown instead of taking that south loop?
Probably.
So that's not going to go away, though.
Well, it's jamming up 157. But
well, that's
I
right
guess,
by where I live, and I haven't seen it as much there as I have here.
Well, the people are lying to me then at IDOT.
157 runs parallel to 255 in Illinois, and so
right.
where the closure is south of where you're at, Ryan.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Way south of you, south of 64, so it's 15 to 1, where I think 157 goes around in what, Cahokia?
I don't know. I'll
close,
have to look at it.
Down in that area.
Well,
but yeah, so it was a perfect storm of the two things, all on the first day.
Well, okay, so I'm glad to hear that maybe it's getting a little
it
better.
It should be better today.
Tell me if this is fair.
Yes.
We'll close on this. Is
Yes.
Is it fair that any time I have a traffic problem anywhere, I just blame you?
The answer to that is no. No, that is not fair.
Okay.
You should just text me.
But sometimes it's the weekends, you know?
Oh, okay, don't text me.
All right, we'll be right back.
Okay.